It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. My name is Jeremy Betts, joined as always by my good buddy Andrew Wilbar to talk all things NFL Draft. Andrew, how are you doing tonight?
I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite shows we do every year, whether it be for the Steel Curtain Network or for Fans First. I love talking sleepers. There's so much talent on day three. People have been knocking this class lately for the depth, but there are a ton of guys. And this international program the NFL has put on only improves the depth of this class. A lot of people are saying, you can get some of these guys undrafted. A lot of them you probably will, but there's a lot of guys that I think are worthy of late-round flyers just because of their athletic upside. There's a ton of guys in this draft, like every year. Just got to find them, and I'm really excited to get into some of these players that deserve a little bit more recognition.
Let's be clear about it, too. The NFL draft is about swings and misses in cases. And the sixth, seventh round, especially in a draft where it's the depth is a question mark, you take swings. And if you miss, no big deal. But you might have a chance at landing a stud down the road with some development. And when you talk about the Pathways guys, the International Pathways program guys, literally a lot of these guys just picked up a football this summer to try to figure it out. Body size, physical specimens that they look at were like, this guy matches a body type for what we're looking for said position, and we can try to make that work. Absolutely, you want to take swings on those guys, and that's the type of group we're going to be talking about here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview today in our Sleepers to Watch edition. And Andrew, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, and let's just jump right into this. Let's go ahead and start at the quarterback position, where all the talk is about the top guys, right? And there's these guys lower down the totem pole, they're not getting a lot of attention, but there's some prospects here with some upside, potentially maybe a guy or two in the mold of a Brock Purdy who can come in and just smart their way to the top really quick and then prove that they actually have the physical traits to make it work. Anybody like that stand out to you this year?
I look at a guy like Keaton Slovis. He's played a lot of football in college. He's gone from USC to Pitt to BYU. He's made his rounds. And if we remember just a couple years ago, Jeremy, we were talking about Keaton Slovis as a potential first-round pick. And then a bunch of stuff happened, goes back to school, the NFL didn't think it's high enough of him for him to declare, struggled at times. But he never had a great supporting cast. He had 1 year at Pitt where he had some to work with, some. And I use that very, very lightly because all of his other guys transferred out. So he didn't have a ton to work with there, didn't have a great offensive line. Couple of his guys that were solid offensive line draft picks, they're in this draft. Goncalves, the left tackle, as well as a couple other guys that we may get into later. But there was not a lot to work with in terms of weapons, consistent weapons for Slovis. But you look at his mechanics inside the pocket. He's a guy who's got plus upside as a runner, which you never really saw in college. He wasn't really utilized that much in that department, but he's capable of doing more of that at the next level. But he's got solid footwork inside the pocket. He knows how to navigate through the pocket, and he does a decent job actually going through his progressions. And I would have never liked him as an early round prospect, but kind of like opposite Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, I loved him the year when he was going to enter the draft. We thought he was going to enter, but he was going to be a late round pick. Man, this guy's going to be a great sleeper on day three. Then he goes back to school, has his breakout year. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to take him in the first round.
Yeah.
Well, it's the opposite with Slovis. Slovis was that projected first rounder, but now he's that late rounder. It's like, I actually wouldn't mind a guy like Keaton Slovis on the roster. So he's a guy that I would keep an eye on. If you're a team in need out there that needs some depth at quarterback, fifth, sixth round, you could probably get Slovis. I think he'd be a good fit. One other name I'll throw out there, Jeremy, is Jonrus Plumlee from UCF. Another guy who's been around. Most people know his name, put up big numbers. He used to be a part baseball player, and then he decided to dedicate toward football. Ran a 4.51 in the 40 this pro day, 36.5-inch vertical, 10.4 broad jump. I mean, this guy's got good athleticism, really inconsistent as a passer. He's a guy that you're probably going to want to have on your practice squad. But if you want to take a chance on someone in a quarterback class that's really not that deep, we can get into guys. And I know, Jeremy, you've got some guys we've talked about before, but guys I know that you're going to mention that have really good upside. As the guy is maybe seventh-round pick, may even get him as an undrafted guy. He's a good camp body to bring in. See if there's some traits you can develop. Yeah. Worst case scenario, maybe see if he can move to another position like wide receiver. See if he has hands. He has the athleticism for it. Just some guys with some positive upside. That's really what you're looking for in these later rounds. You're either looking for a plus special teams player or you're looking for a developmental guy with a bunch of traits that could be a starter down the line that you have the willingness to be patient with. One of the two on day three. That's how you build your team, both for the present and for the future.
Yeah, and in the league that we watch today, there's really now a basic minimum standard of athleticism for quarterbacks that you have to have if you're going to make a roster. And I think that both of the guys you're talking about have that. And another guy I wanted to mention here was Devin Leary out of Kentucky. I think that he falls into this category as well. Andrew, we were surprised at the ball speed at the combine where they clocked the fastest throwers. And then you go back and look at his tape and you're like, oh yeah, he actually does have a pretty live arm. He can get the ball where he wants to down the field. And I thought when you look back at the tape that he does a great job extending plays as well. And that you look at what he can do kind of backyard ball scenarios. And it looks like a guy who can create a little bit and can make plays when it's not perfect. He seems to me the kind of guy, Andrew, we'll hear in 2 or 3 years, like an Easton Stick, where they're getting a spot start for somebody and they throw 2 touchdown passes and you're like, oh, who's this kid? And then they get a nice backup contract and maybe a couple more chances to start down the road. That's the kind of upside I see for him. And who knows, maybe one of these guys could also put together a special season where they put together enough tape that somebody takes a swing at them down the road for a starting gig or at least a stopgap job. But anything else on the quarterbacks before we move on to some of the skill position players?
Let's just get into the skill position players. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, let's start with the wide receivers, Andrew. I think that they're obviously one of the most talked about positions in this draft, but there's some guys outside of the first 2 or 3 rounds that should still be intriguing to teams. I think of like a Jaquan Jackson. I think of guys like that who have a lot of production, smaller school, good traits before the ball's in their hands and skill after. I really like him. Is anybody else standing out to you as a sleeper here that you would say if a team lands this guy in maybe on day three, there's a chance that by the end of year one, you're seeing this guy make plays?
There's one guy I want to mention specifically, and that's Anaya Smith from Texas A&M. And originally, just a couple years ago, I would have said he's probably a day two pick, a guy who's going to be moving up draft boards. A lot of drama has happened over the past couple years. He was arrested. He had DWI and gun charges. Those charges were dismissed. So I don't think it was anything major enough or something that's going to be like, oh, we can't draft this guy. He never reached his full potential with the Aggies. There were so many flashes, and this past season wasn't his greatest year. But even this year, he averaged 15 yards a catch, only had 2 touchdowns, but he was consistent in terms of getting open. Well, the production wasn't always there. It wasn't always on him. But he aligned in that X position, even though he was undersized. He's only about 5'10", 185. But so was Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown found a way to play the X receiver position pretty well at the NFL level. I'm not trying to compare him to Antonio Brown, but when you look at his vision in the open field, his explosiveness, his ability to make defenders miss, and his just ability to misdirect and lead receivers on and sell fakes, Antonio Brown was the master at that. And Anaya Smith can do a lot of that on a lower level. And he didn't run the fastest 40 time. I believe it was 4.56, 4.57. You turn on the tape, this guy is way faster than that. I mean, I thought the dude was going to run 4.3. I was mistaken, but some guys just aren't fast in a straight line. I'm not concerned about his speed at all. Antonio Brown, I can guarantee you, if you saw him play football, you would think, oh, yeah, that guy's probably a 4.3, maybe low 4.4 guy. No, he ran a high 4.5 40 as well. So you can't just go on the 40 time. He's a good football player who gets open. He's a great route runner, and he can also line at running back too. So he's got some versatility there. And another guy who's kind of in that same mold, who I have listed as a running back but could play receiver, is Tyrone Tracy from Purdue, a guy who tested really well, ran a 4.4, 8.40. I believe he had a 40-inch vertical as well. He has plus athleticism, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield when he aligns at running back, can put him in the slot, can put him out wide. He's got a lot of versatility. Decent route runner, but he's got some physicality to him as well, which is very weird for a guy with that type of skill set. Yeah. He's got some intriguing physicality. He's not afraid to get his nose in there and block either. So just some interesting traits about Tyrone Tracy's game I like. But those are two guys that I've got. We can maybe at the end of the show get into some later rounds.
Yeah.
But those are those guys in that fourth, fifth round range that you're talking as legitimate prospects that could see the field early in their career.
Does Tyrone Tracy remind you of anybody that has played in the NFL recently at all? He kind of is a unicorn in the style of play, because really you can line him up anywhere and on the field and he can do something for you there. I just think he's special with the ball in his hands. Maybe one of the guys that benefits from the new kick return rules. Maybe he can find a spot on a roster on special teams, but I don't know. I just don't know if there's anybody that I can call back to off the top of my head here that fits a Tyrone Tracy as far as a prospect. Anybody stand out to you, Andrew, or feeling the same way?
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say he's like a Deebo Samuel, but if you're talking about a guy who can align in the backfield, do a lot of different things, I think there's some versatility there. I don't know if that's who you're thinking of or someone else.
No, I mean, it's just hard to find one. I just think that he's so unique of a player, but very interesting player. A couple guys that stand out to me at wide receiver, Marcus Rosemee, Jack Saint, great physicality on the outside, more speed than you would probably expect out of him. I think he's got some upside. And then I wanted you to talk real quick about Cornelius Johnson, one of your Michigan guys, a big-bodied receiver. Do you see any upside for him in the league?
I do, and he was very underutilized at Michigan. There was a little bit of inconsistency catching the ball at times. I think he overall, though, he is a solid hands guy. He needs to learn to control his body more on the sideline. There were several times just, I don't know if it's just a lack of awareness or what, but sometimes he struggled to, he would slow down a little bit in a route and then try to catch back up, and then the ball would get overthrown. There was just some times where he wasn't in sync with J.J. McCarthy, but there were other games you'd watch and be like, man, if we could see that all the time, Cornelius Johnson would be a stud. He's got the athleticism, and Michigan's known he's had that for a while. Big-bodied receiver who's a great straight-line athlete. If he can learn to use his size better and attack the football, those are the keys for him in the NFL. If he can do that, he's going to find a role with the team, because despite how many good receiver drafts we have, we talk about every year, oh, this is a really good receiver draft. This is a really good receiver draft.
Yeah.
If you are a good receiver, the league will find a spot for you to succeed. And there's still a need, despite all these great wide receiver classes, we're still seeing a big need for key wide receivers. So I like Cornelius Johnson. I don't know how high he's going to go. I could see him going as high as the fourth, but I think in a draft like this, he probably slides to the fifth or sixth round. At that point, you can't really complain. You're gambling on traits, but if you're going to draft someone in the later rounds, why take someone that his upside is to be a third string guy when you can get a guy who maybe a wide receiver two if he reaches his full potential, at worst wide receiver three full potential. I like him as a guy who can have a role in the NFL.
I agree. Let's talk about some running backs and some tight ends, Andrew, here in this portion of our sleepers to watch episode. And there's some guys you've got on here that are very intriguing to me. I'll just open the floor for you to describe some of these guys that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, the first one that I've got mentioned that I thought would probably go on day two, but I'm not sure he does, is Will Shipley from Clemson. Had an outstanding pro day, ran the 4.4s. Just we forgot about Will Shipley as Clemson has struggled the past couple years. As a freshman, we thought Will Shipley is going to be a first-round pick? Is he the next Christian McCaffrey? What is this guy doing? He's so athletic in the open field. He's shifty. He's got all these abilities. He can pass protect a little bit. He is a good running back that just got lost in the shuffle with the fact that Clemson was not that good the past couple of years. He's a good player. He can do a little bit of everything. He can catch passes. I like his versatility, and I think he's a guy that's ready to come in year one and make an impact with some team as kind of that change of pace back, guy who can catch passes, can come and play on third downs because he can pass protect like we talked about. He's a guy I like, and we could talk about a bunch of guys. I know a guy that you really like is Isaac Werendo, so I'll let you talk about him.
Yeah.
He's another guy upside. We haven't seen the best of him yet. Cody Schrader from Missouri, guy who didn't run well, but if you go back and watch the tape at Missouri, this guy's good. He's built like a Blake Corum. He's just a slower version of Blake Corum, but he's got heart. He's got grit in between the tackles. Really like Schrader's game. He's a guy who I think is going to be a good depth running back just because of his character. He's a good locker room guy. He could have gone other place, but he stayed at Missouri and just fought with them. And he was a big part of that offense and why they ran. Just mention a couple names real quick. Frank Gore Jr., easy name to remember. Guy, he's not the same size as his dad, but he's got some physicality, some hidden physicality. Rasheen Ali from Marshall can do a little bit of everything. Kind of reminds me of a Justin Jackson type running back that was formerly of the Chargers and Lions. Jace McClellan from Alabama. And then one name I want to get your opinion on, Jeremy, is that's Blake Watson from Memphis. Yeah. He is an interesting guy. He's 5'9", 200 pounds. And again, I hate using the Justin Jackson comp a lot, but I liked Justin Jackson a lot coming out. 4.4 speed. Blake Watson had a 41.5-inch vertical and 11'3" broad jump. He's an explosive, explosive player. You watch him at Memphis, you get him in the open field, he can run. If you get behind him, you're not catching up with him. He's got breakaway speed, and he just seems to be that guy. It seems like an obvious choice because of the athleticism. But if he can develop vision in between the tackles, he is going to be a guy who's going to play in the league for a while.
Yeah, he's a bounce and go type of player when you watch him on tape. And I think that he probably his limitations are that he relies on that a little too much. If he can develop some vision like you're talking about and be able to run between the tackles, he's a guy with elite upside because he can take it to the house. That's Isaac Guerrero to me as well. But in a bigger body, I mean, this guy's 220 pounds, Andrew, and he moves like that. It's crazy to watch him go. I think that he's a guy that could absolutely be a steal for a team that's looking for some lightning, some serious lightning to their thunder.
The Browns.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Any team, Andrew, with an elite level offensive line where the running back's not going to have to worry about like creating a bunch for himself. I think about Philadelphia too. Somebody who can just hit the hole and go, go, go. That makes a lot of sense to me. I love Guerrero. Any tight ends you want to talk about before we get to the O-line?
Tip Raymond from Illinois. Not a lot of people are talking about him because he only had, 12 catches this past season. This guy, 271 pounds, 6'5", ran a sub-4.7 in the 40, which is absolutely incredible. This guy moves. I like, and you'll look at this in all my tight end guys that I bump up the board. I love blocking tight ends, guys that can block in line. I like the old school tight ends, Jeremy. I know this is the move tight end generation. I should be the guy who wants these move H-back guys. Give me the inline blocker, the 260-pound dude that has some speed, has some wheels, and has traits you can develop into a good receiver that can stay on the field for all three downs. A guy like a Rob Gronkowski type guy, a guy like a Heath Miller. It wasn't quite as athletic, but was still a really good wide receiver, like a Pat Freiermuth. Guys that can do both, guys that can block, guys that can catch. You don't know, you're not giving away what you're going to be running by having them on the field, and because you can have them on the field at all times. Raymond's a guy, reminds me a lot of a guy I loved a couple years ago, Brock Wright, who, by the way, the San Francisco 49ers tried really hard to get him, and Kyle Shanahan wanted him as that number two tight end. They were willing to pay him, $12 million on a three-year deal for Brock Wright. Brock Wright's a good tight end. We saw that a little bit after they had traded TJ Hockenson away, the Lions did, and he got to see some playing time. He's an explosive athlete. I see Tip Raymond as that type of guy. Brock Wright has no production at all in college, but because of his blocking, he's going to get a roster spot and a special teams ability, and once he sees the field, these people are going to be like, oh, I wonder why they never used him as a receiver. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him a lot. The other guy you have on here, Jaheim Bell, similar similar mold guy. He's not quite as big, is he? I can't remember.
No, he's a little bit more of a move tight end, but if you do put him in the slot, he can block in the slot a little bit and fend off some slot corners.
Yeah, I like him too. And you know, tight ends are one of those positions where it does take a little bit of time once they get to the NFL level to really dig in and get a feel for the game. And I think that's just because you ask them to do so much. They have to recognize blitzes. They have to recognize defensive lineups. They have to find those soft spots in the zone when they're working up the seams and things like that. Possession receiver type stuff. It's hard. It's not as easy as wide receiver, where if you're asked to block, it's just on another corner, same size guy. You know, these tight ends, they got to worry about crashing down on defensive ends and tackles that are bigger than they are a lot of times. So it is a tougher position to play. Theo Johnson's a guy we both like as well. And I think that he's probably rising up draft boards. Once the middle rounds hit, Andrew, some of these guys are just going to start going off the board at running back, tight end, because the position value talk is over at that point, and you're just looking at upside. And believe it or not, teams still need running backs and tight ends to be successful in this league. So those guys are going to start going early, or maybe not early, but they're going to start going pretty quickly once you get into the middle portions of the draft. Andrew, let's talk about the offensive line. Anybody stand out to you there? I know, you know, a lot of talk about the big-time offensive tackles. The interior line class is kind of flying under the radar across the board, but are there sleepers at both positions that you like?
I'm going to go with one guy that is starting to get a little bit of buzz, and I know that Roy Countryman mentioned him when he was on with Jeff Hartman, is the guy he thinks could play center. Mason McCormick from South Dakota State is an intriguing guy. He can play pretty much anywhere across the offensive line. He's got some versatility. 6'5", 315 range, tested really well athletically. He's got plus athleticism, and I had him pegged as a guard. I don't know if you ideally want to move him into center, but he's a guy that we haven't seen a lot of. I know he's taken some reps at center at different outings during the pre-draft process, and they've kind of tested his versatility. But a guy that can come in from day one and be somewhat mechanically sound. He's a solid pass protector. Yeah. I'd like to see a little bit of improvement in terms of pad level, keeping that more consistent as a run blocker. There's some technical issues he's got to fix as a run blocker. But if you're looking for a guy who can step in and provide decent playing time immediately and has some upside long term, he's a guy I like in that fourth, fifth round range. If he's still there, if you're one of those teams that misses out on center, not everyone's going to be able to get one of the big three centers in Powers, Johnson, Frazier, and Van Praan. There's going to be a guy like Tanner Bordellini that falls. There's going to be a guy like Mason McCormick that falls, or maybe they end up going round three. I don't know, but we're talking about primarily day three guys. I have an early day three grade on McCormick, a good sleeper. And Jeremy, this is hard to fathom. There's two guys from British Columbia, Theo Benedet and Giovanni Werner Manu. They're both offensive tackles. I think Manu could slide into guard and just be an absolute mauler if he can control the pad level. You got the rugby background here, so you got the physicality aspect. And they're extremely raw. And I don't want to abuse Jordan Mulata or Alejandro Villanueva comparisons. It's just we can just throw this project and see what happens. Because you had Mike Munchak and you had another really good offensive line coach in Philadelphia who developed these guys, and not every team has those teams. As a Steelers fan, Steelers don't have that type of offensive line coach right now.
Right.
A lot of teams don't have that offensive line coach. There's only a few that do. But if you're one of those teams like the Eagles or another team out there that's got a premier offensive line coach, how about Theo Benedet or Giovanni Manu? Benedet, it's 6'7", 295. He can add more weight, ran a 5.14 in the 40, had a 34.5-inch vertical, 9'6" in the broad. Giovanni Manu from British Columbia, 6'7", 352 pounds, Jeremy, ran a 5.06 at 352 pounds.
Yeah, it ain't right. It ain't right. And looking at these guys, it's so funny. They're both 6'7". One's 295. The other's 352. You can definitely see it in their body types too. It's funny to watch. But with Benedet, you can definitely see more weight being added to the frame. He can definitely carry it. I think that they're both very intriguing prospects for sure.
And Travis Clayton is another guy, United Kingdom, a guy who's another part of this international program with the NFL. He's one that's probably garnering more interest than anyone. Obviously, Manu is going to because of the height, weight, speed. But another guy with plus athleticism who's torn it up is Clayton, a guy who I know has had some meetings with several teams. He's a guy that I could actually see getting drafted. Manu, you may be able to get him undrafted. You may get both of these guys undrafted. But just for the upside alone, I'm probably going to hand out maybe a sixth round grade, maybe a late fifth to a guy like Manu, just because at that point, I value upside at that point, maybe more than I should, rather than taking a sure thing. But at that point in the draft, once you get those guys, once all the day two grade guys are finally off the draft board after that fourth, early fifth round, I'm going for the upside guys. And I'd love to get a guy like Manu, put him on the practice squad for a year or two, even. And since he's in that program, it doesn't even count against your roster, Jeremy, according to the NFL. So there's no risk involved at all.
Yeah, tons of upside, zero risk. Let's move on to the defense, Andrew, and we're going to have to speed through these guys, but let's do it. Let's start up front on defense along the interior defensive line. Maybe some of the hands in the dirt pass rushers, if you want to get to those guys here as well. But who stands out to you as a sleeper that teams are, or if they're drafting them late, could have a steal on their hands?
I'm going to go with Jamari Kroma, interior defensive lineman from James Madison. I think that, he played at more edge rusher in college. I think he's going to slide inside. He's got the build of a five technique. He's got 34.5-inch arms, ran a 4.77 in the 40, 31-inch vertical. He's got plus upside, but I think the value, Jeremy, is the edge rushers. And it's not as great of a class what we were thinking, but some of these guys, you just get a feeling. Jonah Ellis, his sibling, has made a name for himself in the NFL, is another guy who's kind of undersized and didn't do a whole lot, but he's carved himself a good career. Jonah Ellis is going to do the same. He's 6'2", 248. He had 12 sacks and 16 tackles for loss. If you remember on the fix this past fall, Jeremy, it seemed like every week when we were doing our two-minute drills for the draft risers, we were mentioning Ellis's name because he was so productive every single week. He was always putting up big numbers. He's just got a feel for rushing the passer. We talk about Adisa Isaac. You want to talk about Adisa Isaac up there, which, by the way, I love his story. I'm rooting for him. I think he's going to be probably a second-round pick at this point, despite not running that well. If you want another guy, Jonah Ellis is that same type of guy. He's not going to wow you with his athleticism, but he's just got that feel for getting after the quarterback, and those guys always find a way to stick around in the NFL, Jeremy, as rotational pass rushers, guys who make a difference, guys who rack up 6, 7, 8 sacks, play some second and third down. They find value. Even if Jonah Ellis is never a quote-unquote starter, he can be a really good third pass rusher, and those are valuable in the NFL that is constantly wanting to rotate pass rushers. Yeah. That's one guy that I wanted to mention. I don't know if you have anyone else here, but that was one guy I just had to get off my chest. He's probably going to fall to day three. I've got a day two grade on him. His tape is just too good.
It is very good. Very technically sound as well.
Yes.
I think he's got a good repertoire of pass rush moves, and I think that he uses his size well for being a little bit smaller. I really like him. A twitched up pass rusher that you actually have on here, Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian. These guys that are 6'4", 250, man, that's just football player size to me, and I love to watch him play. He's one of those guys that just moves differently, and I like him a lot. I like him a lot. I'm glad that you put him on here as well, so I did want to mention him. But let's move off the ball a little bit here to some of the linebackers, Andrew. Famously, this draft isn't great for inside linebacker. When we talked about it pre-show, a big name like Jeremiah Trotter Jr., nobody's talking about this guy, so they're definitely not talking about the sleepers down the line, but is the inside linebackers on a comeback, I think, at the NFL a little bit? You see the guys like Fred Warner and in Baltimore, the two guys they had there last year, Patrick Queen, now a Pittsburgh Steeler, and they're Roquan Smith. Yeah, Roquan Smith. Those guys change ball games. Any inside linebackers that could make the leap, especially when you're talking about special teams athletes that can get on the field pretty quickly in that area and then make an impact on defense down the road, anybody at inside linebacker.
At the end of the show, I'll mention a few just names real quick, but two guys specifically I want to mention is Bo Richter and Swizay Bozeman. Richter is, some people had him listed as an edge rusher. I think he can play inside linebacker at the next level. He's 6 foot, a little over 6 foot, between 6 foot, 6 foot one, 248 pounds. That's good size for a modern day linebacker.
Yeah.
And he ran a 4.56 in the 40. So he's not slow. Had a 10.4 broad jump and a 40-inch vertical. And when you go and watch the tape, I mean, Air Force dude, the guy knows how to bring people down. The guy is a good tackler in the open field. Sometimes I feel as if he's a little bit, he second guesses himself. I think he has better instincts than what you watch when you see him on tape, but he's a little late to react. I feel as if he is identifying what's coming, but he doesn't trust himself enough to move on the ball quick enough. And sometimes because of that, running backs are able to get into those running lanes, he doesn't plug it up quite quick enough. But if he can learn to just trust his instincts, I think that's big for him going forward. Not maybe the most agile at that speed, but a guy who I believe with better technique at the NFL level, with NFL coaching, a guy you can build up a little bit, and a guy who can immediately step in and be that thumper for you. I think he's going to be a late round pick, but a developmental guy who's going to be able to play you some good snaps, I think, if you have your starters go down and you need someone to play specifically on early downs at the beginning of his career. I think he's a guy who can step in, be a sure tackler for you, not hurt you, not penalize you too much by having those injuries.
Yeah, and these are guys where a lot of the tape is, I mean, it's hard to find compilations of really good tape from them, but you see the flashes and you see at least the physical traits that are projectable a little bit once you get to the NFL level. And let's not forget, there are coaches in the NFL for a reason to help develop these guys. I like Richter specifically, you mentioned here, as a great potential player.
I know this one's probably going to run a little long, Jeremy, but I wanted to mention one other guy. I mentioned Bozeman as a guy. He's got 4 or 5 speed, but he's a little bit on the small side. Still an interesting prospect. One guy I forgot to mention I really wanted to was Nathaniel Bookie Watson from Mississippi State. And he's a guy that no one's talking about, but I could see him even sneaking into day two just because this guy is a producer. He's the first player ever in SEC history to lead the conference in both tackles and sacks in the same year. And this is from an inside linebacker. It's intriguing. Yeah. This guy this past year had 10 sacks and 137 tackles. That was good for best in the SEC. I mean, you didn't have any elite pass rushers this past year in the SEC. You had a lot of good ones, but nobody elite. Watson led the SEC in both categories. And he's a 4'6 guy, and, you know, about 6'1", 235. Not the biggest guy either. But if you want a guy who produces and just has a nose for the football, that's Nathaniel Watson. He's going to be this guy teams overthink because he didn't run well. He's not a traits guy. He's a good football player. And he put that weight back on him. I think at one point he had kind of, I believe he was over 240, or at least he's listed as such, but kind of probably dropped that weight trying to run a faster 40. So you may have some concerns there. But if guys like, I can't even remember the name. He was a tackle machine for the Denver Broncos. Formerly, he was an Iowa linebacker. Josie Jewell. Josie Jewell can make it in the NFL with not great athleticism, Nathaniel Watson can make it in the NFL in the modern day. Yeah. I think Nathaniel Watson's a guy who's going to stick around the league for a long time. I just had to mention him. I know we're going to go long, but he deserves some credit.
Yeah. Instincts are huge at inside linebacker, and he's got them in spades. Really like him too. Let's move to the secondary, Andrew, where I think you're looking for guys who can impact the football even on day three, especially when you're talking some of the safeties and slot nickel corners that can get down in the box and play like that. Anybody that you want to mention off the top here in the secondary?
Couple nickel corners. I don't love the bigger corners on the outside in day three, but there's a lot of little corners I like. Beanie Bishop is a guy Shannon White of FFSN really likes. He had 20 pass breakups this past year. 20. Ooh. This guy has a nose for the football. 4 interceptions to go on top of that. Not the most explosive athlete. He did run a 4.39 in the 40, but when you look at his jumps, it was just a 10-foot flat broad jump, 33.5 vert, pretty average, pretty pedestrian across the board, but he's got the speed to make up ground when he gets put behind. He's twitchy. He can move with those slot corners. He's limited to that, but he's a feisty guy who played really well for West Virginia down the stretch this past season. I really like Beanie Bishop. He's still there in that fifth round. He may even slide to the sixth because of the depth. I like him in that range. Sean Stevens, the cousin of Joey Porter Jr., a guy that is going to start getting some love. He's only about 5 foot. I believe he measured at 5'8.5", only 173. So he's a smaller guy, but ran a 4.4 flat, 36.5-inch vertical, 4.31 the shuttle, 6.97.3 cone. He blew up his pro day. And this is a guy who's got instincts. He's got bloodlines. He knows how to find the football. He had 8 interceptions this past season for Ferris State, another small school guy that I think is going to make a practice squad, maybe even back end of a roster if he can learn to play special teams. Undersized, yeah, but a guy who deserves some credit in that later point. And then A.J. Woods, one other guy I'll mention, 5'10", 187, ran a 4.39. He's the other Pitt corner. We talk about Devonshire. Right. A.J. Woods, yeah, is in the back corner himself, and I could see a world just because of his skill set. He may even go above Devonshire. There's no guarantee Devonshire goes first. Woods may have a little bit more long-term upside, but like both those guys, Pitt has some good athletes in that secondary.
I was going to say the Pitt secondary underrated in this draft. I think they've, yes, got some players that can come in and play. Let's get to the safeties. There's some guys I want to, yeah, talk about here. I love safeties. I know you love safeties too. I think one of your favorite players in the draft last year was a safety in Brown. Sidney Brown, yeah, who went to the Eagles. So let's talk about the safeties who aren't getting any love, but there's some really good ball players here. Who you got at the top?
This is our guy. Jimmy, yeah, I've talked about this guy before. I'll let you take the first guy that I, yeah, mentioned to you. I'm going to mention Dominique Hampton from Washington. When I watched him and I did my research on him, I was expecting a little bit more playmaking ability from him. He doesn't have the greatest instincts. He's not the most instinctual player. Sometimes he reacts really late. But he's a guy, it's 4.51 speed, 6'2", 220. He's an explosive athlete. He can come down into the box. He's going to play the run well. I just have concerns about what is his upside in the NFL. If he hasn't been able to make a bunch of plays on the ball after six years of college, what's his upside long-term? I don't know if he's ever a starter in the NFL or not, but if he's a guy that falls to the fifth round, I'd gamble on that. I have a mid-fourth round grade on him. He's a good enough tackler in the open field to raise his floor enough to at least be a good special teamer. And I think with his size and athleticism, he could develop into something down the line. And then Mark Perry from TCU, 6'2", 213. I like my strong safeties. In this world of free safeties and, yeah, these box nickel safeties, I like the prototypical strong safeties that know how to hit. And Mark Perry, he ran a 4.4 in the 40, 37.5-inch vertical, 10'11" broad jump, an explosive, explosive athlete. He has some versatility as well, but I like him at strong safety. He can come downhill, play really well against the run. Those are two guys I like. And then you're and I's favorite day three prospect at safety. I'll let you take the floor on this one.
Oh, yeah. It's Malik Mustafa, man. This guy, originally in the process, I thought, sixth round pick, maybe. He looks good, but he's not super flashy. And then you turn on the tape and you realize, okay, yeah, he's not super flashy, but he does everything well. Technically, he's probably the best tackler, if definitely at safety, but maybe even at any position in this class. He just does it the right way. He tackles the right way. He drives through offensive players. He tackles safely. It's a guy built for today's NFL as a tackling safety. And he doesn't have a lot of ball production, Andrew, but I think he's got a lot more range and versatility than we're giving him credit for. I think he's a guy who can come in and be a spot starter very quickly and then an impact starter down the road. He's a guy that feels like in year two, you're going to see a team move on from a safety so that Malik Mustafa can be their starting strong safety. I think 5'10", 5'11 or so, and almost 200 pounds. He's not the biggest safety, but he is impactful and a strong hitter. And I just like how he comes downhill. Andrew, I don't know when you're watching this tape, if you notice this as well, but it seems like that he's anticipating the angle before the receiver even gets the ball in his hands a lot of times. And he does shut down the deep ball pretty well as well when he is asked to play center field. But I really like him moving forward, flowing forward to the ball. But I just think that as a tackler, and the angles he takes are fantastic. And he could honestly coach tackling right now. I just think that he's that good. You know me, a couple of years ago, I fell in love with Nick Cross. I thought he was a very similar physical, maybe not as big of a guy, but physical, strong tackling safety. I think Mustafa's probably even better, and I think a guy who can probably start for you in a couple of years. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely love him. You talk about, like I talked about before, a dude that can absolutely hit. I love those guys. He doesn't shy away from contact. He's got decent instincts, and he can make plays on the ball. He knows how to react. I know he's not a perfect prospect. There's reason why he's lower, but when you're talking about guys with just pure upside, if he falls to day three, that fourth round range, man, I'm telling you what, this guy's going to bring good value. And I think you just don't get guys that are this size, but this fast, and guys that have played this well in college that fall this far. There have been slip-ups in the open field, yes, but just generally speaking, he's a good tackler. There's not a whole lot I don't like about him, and that's why I'm going to have a day two grade on him. You know, there may be better safeties in this class, but there's not that many that have better upside and a more defined role than what he will have in the NFL.
Yeah. Let me ask you this as far as his range goes. Our team, the Steelers, picks at 98 in the third round, which is the next to last pick of the third round. Would you be okay if he went in that range?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I would take him earlier than that personally, even the Steelers pick at 84 in the third round, and you can make a case that he's a player that could be taken that early as well. All right, Andrew, let's do a rapid fire real quick. Let's get to some of the guys here at the end of the line that we want to get to, but I'll open it up to you. Just start naming some names. Let's go.
All right. I'm not going to mention any more quarterbacks, but Jace McClellan, running back from Alabama. That running back from Alabama we haven't talked about, but a guy who's got some good athleticism. We've kind of forgotten about him. Don't sleep on him in the later rounds. There's teams that are interested in McClellan right now. I think he gets drafted. I think he gets drafted at some point on day three. Tyler Harrell, wide receiver from Miami. Guy who only had four catches this past year, but a former four-star recruit of Alabama. Ran a 4.25 in the 40. He's got elite speed. Kyle Sheets from Slippery Rock, guy 6'2", 217, has like a 78-inch wingspan, ran a 4.52, 37-inch vertical. The guy can go up and get the football, had over 1,000 receiving yards this past year. Cole Beck, a kick return guy who's going to draw interest maybe as a priority free agent from Virginia Tech, 5'11", 188, ran a 4.33 in the 40, 37.5-inch vertical. Interesting guy that we were talking before the show, Jalen Jones from Charlotte, former quarterback. Again, become wide receiver, almost a Terrell Pryor type prospect. 6'3", 200 pounds, 205, ran a 4.5 flat in the 40, 38-inch vertical. He is another guy who's got ability to get open in the open field and can be physical through the catch point. Really like him. A couple guys on the defense, that inside linebacker position that we did, guys we didn't get to. Jacob Hollins, linebacker from Temple. Ironically, I know a person by the name of Jacob Hollins as well. Different player, but you're talking about Temple tough. 6'1", 232. He plays bigger than that size, 4'6", 540. He dethroned, just because of his strong performance, he dethroned the starter for Temple, who is at one point supposed to be a decent draft pick as well. One of the best players in their conference. We mentioned Bozeman, Craig Young from Kansas, Devin Hebron from Morgan State. You want another undersized guy with some athleticism. Laquay Washington from Central Connecticut, Brian Horn from the Citadel. Some of these guys that are late round prospects or undrafted free agents, they're going to find spots somewhere, maybe able to show something in the preseason. Jacoby Windman, that inside linebacker edge rusher from Michigan State, another guy I really like in the later rounds. A guy who was super productive 2 years ago. He's kind of fallen off a cliff since then, but a guy who's got plus athleticism, has versatility. He's a guy I like. Stephen Hills from South Dakota. And then one more guy that I want to mention. Actually, I mentioned AJ Woods already in the secondary. So that's it.
Josh Proctor, he's my other safety to watch out of Ohio State. Really like his tape, and I think he's a good player. Andrew, that was fun. A lot of guys we talked about. Go slow this down to half speed and listen to that, that last couple minutes there. It'll be worth your time. But, hey, Andrew, we're going to keep talking draft. We got one more show, man, until the draft happens, and it is coming down to it. So we're going to deep dive as much as we can next week to get you wrapped up for the NFL draft. That's going to do it for us here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview. We'll talk to you next time.